You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga, Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Little fellow, you must have given up the hope of living.
On the contrary, I do not let the word death bother me.
Same here, baby.
Then what are you waiting for?
Recorded in Chicago, Illinois, with your hosts, Ken, Matt, Neil, and Jeff, this is Triviality.
The cream of the crop!
Hello and welcome to Triviality. I am Jeff, and I'm going to be your host today. Joining me in the studio for our ever-popular Game of Death are Neil, Ken, and Matt. How are you guys doing?
Good. Doing all right.
Great.
Matt is here. He is not missing, but he's in the corner, kind of floating ethereally.
He's off mic right now, as we only have four microphones, and we have Greg here in the studio. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Good. Greg's an old buddy of mine and Jeff, and he knows the other Triviality fellas here as well. But we're happy to have you in for a Game of Death.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I occasionally just join them at bar trivia, and I don't feel like I ever really helped them out, but maybe today I will show them that I actually know a few things.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Greg, for the listeners.
So I'm a full-time student graduating in about a few weeks, which is pretty exciting. So from not studying the books, this is kind of an opportunity for me to go through my random trivia knowledge, see if I know anything else.
Yeah, Greg's usually the one that we call if we have some sort of weird medical issue, wart, something else that one of us gets, and we ask him what it is.
Yeah, I saw him.
Hey, Greg,
checking you
take
for...
Take a look at this?
Yeah.
Ooh. Please put your pants back on.
Moving on.
It's a weird thing. I get to learn a lot about my friends in weird ways.
So, well, thank you for joining us in the studio. So, as always with our Game of Deaths, we're going to be doing... four rounds, five questions each, and they will go topic to host, and then Greg will get his chance to turn the tables. The swing round will be 5 points apiece for Team Triviality and 10 points apiece for all of Greg's questions, and then we'll go through the final categories, and Greg gets to pick topics from there. So, you guys ready to start?
Let's do it.
All right. Level one, Ken.
No, I'm the meek level one competitor.
History, arts, that kind of stuff, random knowledge. These are Ken's
yep.
topics. Question one. What religion did Mary Baker Eddy found?
So the name doesn't ring a bell for me. It does sound either English or American, though. Okay, I'm in.
How are you feeling on this one, Greg?
Not too good. I'm just, it's a really like English-sounding name, so I'm just trying to think of like a lot of traditionalist or like Catholic-based religions. So I just kind of went through a bunch of them and was able to cross out a few that I can, with pretty good confidence, say are not from this person. What was the name again?
Mary Baker Eddy.
Yeah, okay. All right, I have an answer in.
Yeah, I'm going with a denomination of Christianity, and I'm saying Jehovah's Witness.
Okay.
Oh, that's probably a better guess than mine.
And what did you guess, Greg?
I just said evangelical.
So she is the founder of Christian Science.
Ooh.
Is that like the Christian Science Monitor or whatever?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. That is exactly what it's like.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
I know there's a lot of stores everywhere that you want to walk into and grab a book. I do not, but more power to everyone else who does.
Question two. Before the 12th Amendment was passed in 1804, How was the vice president determined?
Okay, I think I'm good on this one.
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay. What did you say on this one, Ken?
It was the candidate with the second most, votes.
What do you say on that one,
Greg? I said the exact same thing. The candidate with the second most votes.
That is correct. Second person with the second most electoral votes became vice president.
Nice. So starting out with a tie, Greg.
Let's do this.
I don't know if my category is really my category anymore.
Right.
This is because Neil gets all the film questions. So,
like, I've known you for so many years, Ken, and we've never sat down and talked about like Christian science, religions, or anything.
Well,
like
this
that.
Is. I mean, this is more contemporary American history. So,
well, if you have a few moments, you can step into my office. And I can talk to you about Christian science.
Hard pass.
Question three. As of November 15th, 2017, what Leonardo da Vinci painting is now the most expensive painting ever sold?
Yeah,
I remember hearing about this. Yeah.
I saw it, and I know what the painting is of. Okay, I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm in as well.
All right. Greg, what did you say on this one?
So, I can't picture what it is, and I know it's not the Mona Lisa. But I don't know, maybe just some random chance that it's correct. So I just went with Mona Lisa.
Okay.
Ken. So, yeah, I saw this. The painting is of Jesus, and I think it translates to the Savior or something like that. And in Italian, I put La Savior.
So I probably would have given you full points if all of the English translation was there. It's Salvator Mundi, which would be Savior of the World.
Okay. That's fair. I was mostly there.
Right. Question four. This ancient Egyptian city shares its name with a U.S. city in which Martin Luther King Jr. was shot.
I'm in.
I figured
you
might.
Giving me geography, though?
It's light geography. Yeah, I figured you'd get it from the historical. So.
Oh, this is driving me crazy that I don't know this. I'm, like, trying to look at it from both perspectives of, like, an ancient city and... All right, I'm gonna pass.
Okay, no answer from Greg?
Yeah, no answer.
What did you say on this one, Ken?
This would be a place where you might want to walk around. It's Memphis.
It is Memphis.
Matt over there in the corner. What a good joke, walking around
Memphis. Maybe you could channel the U2 song about the shooting. Shots rang out in the Memphis sky, so... And the fifth question, final question for Ken on level one. This president oversaw the purchase and annexation of Alaska from Russia. Critics of the purchase called it Seward's folly after his Secretary of State, William Seward.
I am in. This was a previous trivia question.
Was it one that we asked?
I think a long time ago. But it was one that I asked.
Oh, could have been.
So it's something I happen to know, as it's kind of bizarre.
I have a bad guess. I'm in.
Okay. Craig, what is your bad guess?
LBJ.
Okay. And Ken, what did you say?
It's a little late for the purchase and annexation, but answer is Andrew Johnson, surprisingly.
It is surprisingly Andrew Johnson.
What year was that?
That was 1867.
Oh, I was thinking like it was like...
Alaska became a state in 1959, mm-hmm. which would have been two presidencies before... LBJ.
Okay. So I think I was thinking the 50s, but I wasn't. Okay.
Yeah. 59 is when it became a state.
Okay. So.
All right. So Ken racks up 30 points in that round and Greg puts up 10.
That's the first time I've actually won my round.
That may be true.
I don't know how I should feel about that.
Check, check, testing.
Matt is back in the saddle. All right. Question one on level two with Matt. There are only 2 days in which you cannot watch one of the big four professional sports play a game, the day before and the day after what event? So this is to say that there are professional sports 363 days a year.
Professional sports.
Of the big four, yeah.
The big four, okay.
I'm locked in.
So not MLS.
These are the two saddest days to watch SportsCenter because they're really stretching for stuff.
They just use kind of LeVar Ball for everything now.
So what do you think, Greg, since you think you got it?
I would say the day that falls between the 2 days is New Year's Day.
Okay.
Ooh, no, they play hockey games on New Year's Day now, and all, so they do that.
So what day, Matt, separates the day before and the day after where there are no sports?
So you would think it'd be in the summer because there's no football, basketball, or hockey, and they take a 3-day break for the MLB All-Star game. So the answer is the MLB All-Star
game. So the day before and the day after the MLB All-Star game, there are no professional sports played in the Big Four. So Matt will be getting points on that one.
I was trying to think like Thanksgiving, no. Christmas, no. Right. Halloween, right. No. And I was trying to think it was around like a major national holiday. Like it's not Veterans Day, Memorial Day. New Year's for some reason was just the only thing that was really sticking. Yeah, I wasn't thinking of like a sports event.
You got stuck on holidays and then you didn't get off.
Yeah.
I see where you're coming from there.
I tried to, because I know hockey and baseball, I mean, hockey and basketball are at the same time. So I tried to think of like the sport that was outside it. So baseball, right. But I couldn't think of like any specific date in baseball.
No. All right. On to question two. In professional basketball, the ball was put back into play following every basket by what means until 1936?
Well, I don't remember that particular season. So
you don't remember the like 35-36 season very well?
Those Rochester Royals. Jeez.
All right, I have an idea. I'm in.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
I don't know this one.
Greg with an idea. What'd you say, Greg?
Just because it seems like there always is kind of changes in this specific category with like the way it's been done in basketball, I'm just going to go say a jump ball.
Okay, Matt, what did you say?
Oh, that sounds right. I just said that they just had to dribble it in.
So Greg will be getting points on this. Every single inbounds play was a jump ball.
I cannot imagine that right now. That would be the worst sport ever.
Imagine after the Warriors scored 140 on the Bulls, how long that game was. There's a jump ball after every basket.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. So, you know, you can kind of see why they may have decided to change that ruling.
Yeah, for sure.
Question three. Which of the four major sports franchises in the U.S. has the most three-peats? That is to say, three consecutive championship series won by the same winner.
Hmm. Does six in a row count as two three-peats?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I don't think it does.
Okay, then it's
so
not.
It has to be just three, and then they don't win it the next year. So like if they won four in a row.
I think the way it goes is three plus.
Okay. All right, I'm locked in.
I don't know how many three-peats there have been in hockey, though.
Cause like,
but I know the hockey league has been around longer than basketball.
Hockey night.
I'm trying to think like maybe in the early years if there were a few teams. Okay, I'm in.
All right.
Okay, what did you say on that one, Matt?
So when I asked about the three-peats, we were both thinking Boston Celtics.
Yeah, when you
they
said
won,
six straight. Yeah.
Yeah, so they won eight in a row, I think. So that would technically be two three-peats. But I went with the team that has the most championships, just assumed that they would probably have the most three-peats, and went with the New York Yankees.
I'm looking for the league. So you're saying the MLB?
Yeah, the MLB.
Okay.
Oh, wow. I was thinking exactly the Yankees, too, and was thinking Major League Baseball.
All right. So by my math here, I've got that the NFL has had zero.
Yeah.
There was one pre-NFL. That would be the Browns had four in a row.
I didn't think it was football.
No. They've never had a three-peat since becoming the NFL.
It's totally going to be hockey.
The Major League Baseball Association has had seven. The NHL has had nine. And the NBA has 10.
I completely
I was thinking about the question wrong.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the individual team, and
I
now
thought we had to name the team.
Yeah,
no,
because like the Bulls had two, like Boston had probably three or four.
Right.
Yeah.
So sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
All right.
At least we both got it wrong.
Yeah. We both thought of it the same wrong way. Perfect.
All right. Keeping it in the family, this famous NFL quarterback played for BYU in college. His great 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 grandfather bears the school's namesake.
Got it.
Okay, I'm in.
All right, what'd you say on that one, Greg?
Brigham Young.
Okay, so Brigham Young is the school, BYU. Yeah. So who is the famous NFL quarterback who would be the great-great-grandson of that person?
Oh, Steve Young.
Okay, Steve Young. And what'd you say, Matt?
I also said Steve
Young. It is Steve Young. Yeah. So funny enough, Steve Young's related to Brigham Young. Didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I actually thought that the player was the name of the school, and I was just like, Brigham Young, because I know the name of BYU. And you're right, like, yeah, well, who was his great-grandson? And I was just like, well...
Vince Young? No, Vince Young?
Not at BYU.
Great joke. Question five, as promised, a hockey question. Mm-hmm. This NHL player, named as one of the 100 greatest players of all time by the NHL in their 100th season, was also a great entrepreneur, lending his name to what would become Canada's largest fast service company. Oh.
If what I wrote down is right, I did not know he was a hockey player.
All right, my answer's then. My answer's then. All right, can
Matt,
I go first?
Matt, who do you think is not a hockey player?
Mr. Tim Horton.
Okay, and Greg?
That is exactly what I have.
Yeah, no, Tim Horton was a hockey player.
Oh, there you go. I just thought he was a coffee magnet. He was
actually learning a lot today.
He was a very successful hockey player.
Well, there we go.
Yes, Stan's Donuts.
Is this a Tim Hortons coffee I'm drinking right now, Neil?
It is not. It's a blend from Milwaukee.
Which we'll name with the cash.
That's right.
Yeah,
we're holding the name at ransom.
We're big coffee drinkers, so if any of you coffee brands out there want to be mentioned on this podcast, just let us know.
Tim Horton actually died while he was still a player. He had started some businesses on the side with all of the money he had made, and he was given a car called a Di Tommaso Pantera as a way to attract him to playing for the Buffalo Sabres, and he crashed in on his way home and died. Unfortunately, him and his wife.
So sad.
So he was 44.
That's terrible.
All right. So going through the first half of the game here, looks like Team Triviality has 60 points and Greg has 40 points. So pretty even so far. All right. So for our swing round today, it's going to be pretty straightforward. All I'm looking for is, according to The Atlantic in a November 2013 issue, what they considered to be the top 10 greatest inventions of all time.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Now, when you say inventions, is it under their description that this infrastructure idea would be an invention, like modern plumbing? Like, is that like an idea, or is it just an individual item?
They tend to focus on single breakthroughs or standalone inventions. So not typically large scale ideas.
Do you want to go in the other room, Greg, or would you rather be in here with headphones on?
I'll go in the other room.
Okay.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's some on there that are a little strange. Like, I know right off the bat, I believe maybe number one is, or one of the top is printing press.
Yeah, printing press I would definitely put as one.
Television.
Right?
Smartphone.
Ooh.
Or would it just be mobile phone?
Let's just do mobile phone. Personal computer. PC's got to be probably.
Let's think, what about the dishwasher or washing machine?
No.
Okay.
No one cares about it.
I care about it. I'm glad it was invented.
Automobile?
Yeah. Or no, is it the automobile or is it the combustion engine?
Oh, combustion engine makes all that possible.
Antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
Vaccine probably wouldn't be in there, right?
Antibiotics, I mean, no.
That's different.
Okay.
Do both.
I don't think they'd both be in the top 10.
I think they would.
What about sliced bread? It's the greatest thing.
You're going to call me crazy, but cotton gin? It always bizarrely comes up in these lists, and you think, like...
What about the atomic bomb? Is that...
It's important, yeah. I mean...
All right. You just want to go with these 10?
Yeah.
All right. Just for the record, I forgot what I said. Washing machine.
No washing machine.
Dishwasher. And I forget the other one I said out loud.
Oh, the ones that you want to be right about?
No, just that I know that at least I said out loud.
All right. So Greg has joined us back in the studio. Triviality has had its chance to discuss what they think the 10 greatest breakthroughs. The Atlantic published a list of 50, by the way, but we're just doing the top 10. And so now I'm going to let both teams run through their lists, and I will run through the Atlantic's list, and we will see what they got.
So I didn't know how the Atlantic would do this. I mean, considering what I do for work, I obviously have a lot of bias where I think a lot of like revolutionary change has happened in terms of inventions. But for my list, I have the steam engine. I have capsuled medications, so like something like antibiotics. The internet. But with that, I kind of was like connected with internet/electronic products. Again, I didn't know how detailed they wanted to be, like just like the advancements in computer technology.
I got you.
Yeah.
If there are any questions that arise, because I think there might be a few, we'll go through them. So
I went with just the modern clock, television, appropriately radio, the airplane, a light bulb, paper, but I had that combined with like the printing press, and then an MRI machine.
Okay.
All right. So I've got your list. And Triviality, what did you say?
All right. So we went with the printing press, television, internet, mobile phone, personal computer,
mobile phone,
combustion engine, antibiotics, vaccines, the atomic bomb, and a cotton gin.
All right. So it might be easier for me if you just score yourselves on this, but I'll double check.
The combustion engine. That's a good one. Man, I didn't even think of that.
I'm going to go 10 to 1 on this. So this will kind of give you an idea about what they're thinking. Number 10, the steam engine. So a nod to Greg on that one. Number 9, the internet.
All right.
Both teams will be getting points. Number 8, vaccination.
All right.
Number 7, the internal combustion engine. Both of them are up there. Number 6, paper. Number 5, optical lenses.
Oh, wow. That seems obvious.
No. Number 4.
It's right, the answer is right in front of you. He wears gloves.
Literally. I like that I mentioned that medicine was going to give me an advantage, and I didn't think of optical lenses or vaccinations.
Number 4, semiconductors or semiconductor electronics. Mm-hmm. Number 3, penicillin. Specifically penicillin. So I don't know how to rule on the antibiotics one.
That was the first.
Yeah, it's just the first one.
Okay, but then I'm good giving you for that. Because if I asked for specificity, you probably would have said. If I said be more specific, you probably would have picked it. So that's fine.
If I had to pick one.
Yeah. Number 2, electricity. Just a breakthrough. It exists in the world, but we didn't really find it for a while.
I said light bulb, but I didn't think that far back.
And number 1, hailing from 1430, the printing press.
All right.
So I'll just run down the rest of the list here so you guys get an idea about what you may or may not have missed out on. I didn't want to go any longer because I know a couple of these you definitely wouldn't get. Great ideas all around, though. Nitrogen fixation is number 11. So the Haber-Bosch process.
Yeah, for like... Yeah, it's putting nitrogen in the soil,
so it like helps crops grow. It's the chemical way to actually make ammonia synthetically, and then they can use it to make synthetic fertilizers, which have actually probably saved more people than
it actually killed.
Than it killed, yeah.
Yeah,
for bombs.
I've heard about that.
Yeah. Number 12, sanitation systems, which at plumbing would have been one.
Yeah.
13 is refrigeration. 14, gunpowder. 15, airplane. PC comes in at 16. The compass, 17. The automobile, 18. 19 is industrial steel making. And number 20, the pill.
So it was on there.
All right. So in the swing round, Team Triviality got 5 right out of 10, adding 25 to their score. Greg got 4, but he'll be getting 40 because of the double points. So moving out of the swing round, it'll be Team Triviality 85 with a narrow lead over Greg with 80.
All right.
All right. So we're going to be moving on to the third tier of the pagoda. This will feature Neil with his knowledge of film, mostly.
Greg, you're pretty familiar with films and that stuff.
I would say I am a film snob, but probably not to the extent where I actually remember everything that I would for like the benefit of a trivia.
All right. So the first question is, I'm looking for the title of the movie. So it's this Stanley Kubrick film spent $1 million or 55% of its budget paying one actor.
Okay, I'm in.
So I was writing down all of his movies, and I was going to go through all of them, and I wrote down, I don't know, like six or seven. So I didn't want to like go through all of them, like Full Metal Jacket. I don't think Matthew Modine is getting $1 million, nor is Vincent D'Onofrio. I took out Lolita, Clockwork Orange. I didn't think Malcolm McDowell would get $1 million for that. So I was kind of whittled down to three movies. One was Spartacus, which kind of wasn't his movie. It was more Kirk Douglas's movie, but I could see in the 1960s that if it had a budget at the time, would have been $2 million. Kirk Douglas was a producer of it, so I'm leaning towards that. I have The Shining, which I feel like it had a bigger budget than $2 million, but if it didn't, the biggest actor on this list would probably be Jack Nicholson in his prime. He would have gotten $1 million. And then the third film, sort of a dark horse called Barry Lyndon, which starred Ryan O'Neal, but he had a lot of trouble making that movie because it was a period piece that shot in available light, and no one really wanted to fund it. For the hell of it, I'm going to go Spartacus.
Okay, and what were your thoughts on this one, Greg?
So I tried to think of it like just going through his movies. I thought Full Metal Jacket, The Shining, is it Path of Glory? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so, and I just know that it just from like remembering watching those movies, they're all like, they seem big budget. And in terms of a movie where I would think most of the budget would have to go to one actor, I thought of like a movie that would be have more like isolated scenes in one area. And I kept thinking of The Big Table and Dr. Strangelove. So I don't know the name of the actor, but just based on the production, that I think that's my guess where like an actor got most of the budget.
So very famously about this movie, Kubrick said that he got three actors for the price of six. So that would be Dr. Strangelove.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he was paid $1 million of the $1.8 million budget Peter Sellers was.
When you said three actors for the price of six, I was like, are you going to say 2001? Because there's like three people in that movie.
No, he's talking about the multi-roles that Peter Sellers played. So, yeah. And apparently it doesn't seem like he was very pro paying him that much money, but from the line there, but... So yeah, no, it was Dr. Strangelove. All right, question two. What is the only non-Western animated film to win an Academy Award for Best Animated Feature?
You know this one, Ken? Oh yeah. Yeah, this could have been in Ken's round.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What'd you say on that one, Greg?
I went with it's one of my favorite movies. I'm fairly confident it's the right answer. It's Spirited Away.
And Neil?
I went with Spirited Away.
Yeah, that would be 2001, Hayao Miyazaki's Spirited Away.
I think a lot of us in this room are fans of his.
Was that 2002? Was that the year that...
I believe 2002 was the year
he didn't show up because of the invasion of Iraq?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't show up in protest. But it's the only non-Western animated film, which I was kind of surprised to find that out. All right, question three. Which Bond actor wore a wig in every single one of his Bond portrayals?
I'm in.
Okay, I'm in.
Okay. Well, what did you say on this one, Greg?
So you said several like Bond roles, and like I don't know.
I said every single appearance.
Every single appearance. Okay. Doesn't really change my answer. So I think I know who it is because I can sort of picture him, but I don't know his name. So I have to go with Sean Connery. But I think it's the actor that's in Hot Fuzz that is
Timothy Dalton.
Yeah, I think it's him.
Would you rather go with Timothy Dalton? I can give you the name. That's fine.
You feel so confident about it that now I'm pretty sure it's not the answer. So, yeah, just because that's who I was thinking, I'll say Timothy Dalton.
Okay.
This is when you go, yeah, it's Sean Connery.
Sean Connery?
Yeah, it's Sean Connery.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You've got to be kidding me.
No. No, I am not.
Huh? Was he already bald at the time?
Yeah, he's always kind of been bald, yeah.
I can't believe you literally made me change my answer to the wrong answer. I got manipulated.
Yeah. Chest hair is real, but the hair on his head is not.
You said Sean Connery, didn't you?
Yeah, but I changed my answer to Timothy
Oh,
Dalton.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, officially?
I don't know. Can we? How
oh, it
we
worked then.
This?
My plan worked then.
Because I don't know if I could have technically actually picked him because I didn't know his name.
No.
But.
So I think we have to default to the fact that you didn't know the answer and you said Sean Connery, right?
He was locked in with Sean Connery, okay. To be honest.
Yeah, I was just messing around.
We're
that's
good.
Fine.
Oh. That's why I wrote 10 on your thing, giving you credit for it.
But also hilarious.
I'll take the points.
So, all right. So far, so good. Question 4 in Neil's round. This Whitney Houston film also has the top-selling soundtrack of all time.
I'm locked in.
Selling 17 million copies.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Okay, well, that was an easy one. Greg, what'd you say?
The Bodyguard.
Neil?
The Bodyguard.
Yeah, The Bodyguard.
No one's going to sing it?
I'm not even going to try. I don't think anyone should actually try.
No. I found out that the Space Jam soundtrack is only sextuple platinum and is like number 13 on the list of bestsellers.
Everybody
but
get up. That one will say, oh, it's the R. Kelly song because that was right. Everyone's graduation song that year.
Oh, my God. I Believe I Can Fly?
Yeah.
I remember that. Yeah. It was either I Believe I Can Fly or Good Riddance by Green Day.
That's right.
I saw him perform
that, was like
that
10
song
years.
Live at Bonnaroo and it was his closing song. And it
R.
was
Kelly?
Yeah.
And he was at Bonnaroo?
It was absolutely. He came in on a crane like from behind the stage, but it wasn't
like
dark yet.
On a bird?
So no. No, there was a crane behind the stage that like lifted him up and hoisted him and lowered him like in front of the crowd, and he opened with Remix to Ignition, and he was wearing a white suit, so we can all literally see him standing behind the stage like getting hoisted up by the crane. So it was like not that epic of an entrance, but I Believe I Can Fly was awesome.
Question 5. What two fictional characters are hidden as an Easter egg in the hieroglyphics of the film Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark?
This is a question that Neil 100% will get, and I have no idea.
No, I 100% know one of them, and I'm pretty sure on the other one.
All right, I have a guess.
Okay. And what did you say on this one, Greg?
So I'm thinking Raiders of the Lost Ark. I'm thinking of the very end of the movie where they basically all just get like absolutely destroyed from looking at it. So I kind of went along the lines of Medusa.
Okay.
And I was trying to remember who actually fought Medusa. I said like it was like Percy or someone, but I can't remember the name of. I don't think it's right, but...
Okay. Gotcha. I know what you're going at.
Percy and Medusa is my answer.
And what'd you say, Neil?
Raiders of the Lost Ark was famously produced by George Lucas, and George Lucas put E.T. in some of the prequels for Star Wars, and at the time, Steven Spielberg, as a little nod to his friend George, put in, I believe, C-3PO and R2-D2.
C-3PO and R2-D2 do appear...
Wow, that's way more fictional than I thought it was going to be.
...as hieroglyphics in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I got to see that scene, though.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
It's Perseus. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks,
Yeah, man. They do a lot of that back and forth in all the movies, like little Easter eggs like that.
So heading out of Neil's round, before we get into Greg's, and I'll tell you the category in a minute there, it is still a very close game. Both players got 40 points on that, so it's 125-120.
I should have thought more about that Dr. Strangelove one, but that's all right. 4 out of 5 ain't bad.
So today, Greg decided that he would like his category to be the NBA. So Greg is a huge basketball fan. We decided in talking that I wasn't going to go basketball generally because I thought WNBA would be kind of a... I'd be throwing him for curveballs he didn't need. So this is supposed to be the guests category. So we went NBA. Who would you like to challenge on this one, Greg?
So if I challenge Ken, I feel like I'll do fairly well. But I am a big fan of listening to The Game of Death and wanted to challenge someone at something that I think they're good at because I thought that would be fun. So I want to challenge Matt.
Yeah.
Bold strategy.
We'll see if it pays off.
If I was like doing really poorly, I think I would challenge Ken. No offense, Ken.
It's all about strategy, so.
I accept your challenge.
Perfect.
All right, let's do it.
All right. So, question 1. What Hall of Fame player is the NBA logo designed after?
I'm locked in.
Yeah, same.
Wow. I actually know that one.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right. Greg, what'd you say on that one?
The logo himself. Jerry West.
Mm-hmm. Jerry West.
Jerry West it is. Former Laker Jerry West. Question 2. Why did Detroit Piston Rasheed Wallace have his 2004 championship ring resized?
Oh, all right. I'm locked in.
Okay. I think this is a weird answer, but I have an answer.
Okay. Let's start with Matt with a weird answer.
They used to carry around these WWE championships, and I think maybe he got it like melted down into his championship belt. But that's all I could think of.
Oh, that's a good guess. Because that's something Rasheed Wallace would definitely do.
Greg, what do you think Rasheed Wallace had it resized for?
So I originally thought it was because he got in a fight and probably broke his hand, because Rasheed Wallace is like an infamous like bad boy of the NBA. But I just thought it was something more wholesome. And I said he got married and changed the finger it was on. So
you're onto something. He did change the finger that it was on, but it wouldn't fit his middle finger.
Oh,
so he had it resized
answer.
To fit his middle finger.
Who's the guy that choked out the coach?
Latrell Sprewell.
Sprewell. Okay. Yeah.
Buddy, you should say that. There's a Latrell Sprewell question later.
The answer is spinners. The original fidget spinner.
Automobile fidget spinner.
All right. Question three. It wouldn't be a basketball question without a Wilt Chamberlain question.
Mm-hmm.
So in addition to all of his other accolades and his inclusion in the NBA Hall of Fame, what other sports Hall of Fame is Wilt Chamberlain a member of?
I'm in.
Great.
I'm not really sure what it is.
Okay. What do you think it is?
So I know Wilt Chamberlain in terms of like professional sports was, he was pretty famously, if I'm not mistaken, a Harlem Globetrotter before he was in the NBA. But I would just imagine that that's just a, like, that would just be part of being like the Basketball Hall of Fame. But I do remember hearing that he was just like, you know, just one of those freak athletes that was just pretty much great at everything he did. So I figured he was like a high school football star, and then I would imagine that he was just like in like a football Hall of Fame because of that. So kind of kept it simple, but
what did you think on that one, Matt?
So I had also heard that he was a bit of a freak athlete, in the sense that he slept with many, many women.
Oh, that's where we're going with this.
He's known for sleeping with lots of ladies. So I put he was in the Pimpin' Hall of Fame.
Unfortunately,
is that technically a sport?
That's where I got caught up. I was like, I think he is in some sort of hall.
He's actually in the International Volleyball Hall of Fame. He was a really good volleyball player.
I do remember hearing that.
But oh, I was really happy with my pimping answer, so I didn't change
I do remember hearing that.
It was grounded in logic. I mean,
yeah.
You know, that was his deal.
Yeah, look it up. Lots of women.
Didn't he live in a house that had a moat?
The Ric Flair of basketball.
All right. Question four. So three times in the NBA has a player made 9 3-point field goals in a game with no misses. Latrell Sprewell did it with the Knicks in 2003, and this player did it twice, once as a Bull and once as a Piston.
I don't think Ben Wallace was making too many 3-point.
I don't know how many he has in his career. It's got to be low.
Less than five, I'd guess.
Got to be low.
Bulls Pistons famous rivals.
He had like a 30% free throw shot. Yeah, there's no way like he was pulling up threes without a coach immediately removing him from the game.
He's the Andre Drummond of his time. I'm locked in with an answer.
Andre Drummond's good at free throws now.
He is now. Yeah.
Jokes I don't understand.
Sports.
All right, everybody's in.
Yep.
All right, what did you think on that one, Matt?
Referred to as Air Gordon when he was drafted. I went with
this
Ben
is my
Gordon.
Guess.
You think it's Ben Gordon?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think, Greg?
Yeah. So. Just from the only two people that I can think of now, because it's Bulls to Detroit, is that I have to think of the modern era of like how many 3-point shooters, like how many shots people take now from 3-pointer versus like the old era. So the only two people I thought was like either like Rip Hamilton or Ben Gordon. And just from the way you're saying the question, he did it with the Bulls and then did it with Detroit. I have to go with Ben Gordon.
So I have Ben Gordon. Yeah, he did it against the Wizards in 06 and against the Nuggets in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Question five. Wilt Chamberlain holds the record for both most points in a game at 100 and most points in a half at 59. However, he is not the player with the most points in a quarter. Who is the player that holds this record?
I'm locked in.
If he could have kept the pace up through four quarters, he would have had 148 points that game.
I'm locked in.
Me too.
All right, what do you take on that one, Greg?
This is the most infamous, I think, third quarter, if I'm not mistaken, I've ever seen in basketball, where Clay Thompson could not miss at all. He scored 37 points.
All right. Yeah. And what do you have on that one, Matt?
It's Klay Thompson, but I said Tracy McGrady.
Yeah, unfortunately, it is Klay Thompson. Yeah, 37 points in the third quarter.
Yeah, he didn't miss a single shot, and they just kept feeding him. Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. So Greg will be adding 30 to his score to go up to 150, and Matt tacked on another 20 points for Team Triviality, bringing them to 145. So still a very close game. All right, so on to the final round. So in our game of death, we present our guest with 10 categories that they can choose the five of. And so I will run through those now. First one is classical music. Second, group names. Third is vexillology. Fourth eponyms. 5 is in linguistics. 6 is in geography. 7 is in chemistry. 8 is in biology. 9 is math.
Man, Jeff, these are fun.
I know, aren't they? They're so much fun.
Let's have a light game of trivia.
And the last one is in mortuary sciences. Flags. Vexillology is flags.
Oh.
It is literally like the study and appreciation of flags.
I'll do that as one. I'll do biology, chemistry. I'll take a shot at classical music.
Okay.
What was the second category?
Group names.
I'll do that one.
Okay. So the categories, as Greg chose, classical music, group names, vexillology, chemistry, biology. So I'll get the wagers from you guys now. All right. So now that the wagers are in, let's go through the questions. So the first question is in classical music. This composer invented the idea of the fade out as a way to demonstrate an idea of how far away Neptune was from the other planets. Question number 2. A group of foxes is known as what? Question number 3 in vexillology. Which U.S. state was the first to adopt their current flag? Question number 4 in chemistry. Which metal melts in your hand? Which elemental metal melts in your hand? And number 5 in bio. A melanistic animal would be one that has traits opposite to what genetic disorder?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So triviality is going to discuss.
Regarding the melanistic, the opposite of a melanistic disorder, that would be albino or albinism.
Yeah.
Is that for, yeah, okay.
The metal that melts in your hand is gallium, so I'm kind of upset that we didn't bet on that.
Yep.
The planets.
Yeah,
Gustav Mahler?
No. It's whoever did he did all the compositions of the planets. Like he did Mars.
Yeah.
It's Mahler?
I could be wrong.
I think it's Gustav I wrote down. Is it Gustav Holt or something Holt? I feel like I did write down Gustav, though, but we played this in high school. We played Mars.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't remember.
All right, so let's table that one.
Yeah.
Foxes?
I thought it was a fleet of foxes.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds right.
Are we thinking of the band Fleet Foxes?
We are thinking of it, but I think they're named after that.
Let's go with that.
Yeah. No, that's a good pull. Yeah. I never retain.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Animal groups. But that's smart. That's a good.
So they obviously didn't have state flags when they first came, or did they?
I feel like Illinois came in with the state flag, and it's got the date on it. Right. So
my first thought was Ohio. Was it? But
this is just a shot in the dark for me.
You would think it'd be one of the first, like, 16 or so. You know, it'd be an early one.
I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, this is bad logic, but I was just trying to think of simple flags. Like Alabama's the X, right? I don't know if they've flew that. Do we have any flags that would have been flown? And
I have an inclination that when Illinois became a state,
mm-hmm.
it adopted its flag immediately. So that's all I know on the subject.
I just can't think of like really old flags that have been that way forever. You know, that are like ingrained in the culture.
Mississippi.
Like the Confederate flag's not Georgia, right? I mean, that was just the Confederacy, right?
Mississippi.
Mississippi? Okay.
Has elements of the Confederate flag.
So what do we think about the planets? Holst? Is it Holst?
It's close. I think it's Gustav Holt. I don't know why. I Gustav definitely came in my head. And you said Gustav.
What were you?
Mahler.
It is the planet. I mean, because
the more you say Mahler, the more I think that's wrong.
So, Gustav Holst.
I think it's Holst.
Let me think. Holst, Host, Gustav Host, Holst, Holt.
Let's go with Holst.
Holst. Okay.
All right. So I think everyone is settled. So we commence with the answer. So, and triviality had a discussion about a few of these. How did you find them, Greg?
So I feel a little confident with some. I'll be a little embarrassed if I get a few wrong. And the one that really stood out to me was the group names question. I know it's like some obscure name, but I could not think for the life of me of what it was. So
fair enough. All right, so let's go through the answers now. In classical music, the wagers were 20 to Team Triviality and 10 to Greg. So what did you guys say in Team Triviality?
So we went back and forth on a few things. Ken and I both thought of the name Gustav, and we were trying to decide between Gustav Holst, Gustav Holt, and Gustav Mahler. And we finally, kind of going back and forth saying it out loud, we settled on just the name Holst.
And what did you think on that one, Greg?
I really had no idea. I wasn't sure how far back I should go for classical music in terms of like who came up with this idea. I just kind of just went with Brahms.
Okay. So believe it or not, as a way to show the distance of Neptune, Gustav Holst, so points going to Triviality.
Wow, nice job, guys.
What he did was he had the orchestra play, and then he slowly closed a door during the performance so that it was cut off and it would seem kind of eerie and far out. So he's credited with the idea of the fade out.
Cool. That's cool.
Good teamwork, Neil.
Yeah. Good job, Ken.
I was also there.
And Matt was there and helped too.
And I helped too.
All right. And into number two for group names. Both teams wagering 10 on this. Both teams in a little bit of pain, it looks like. So what did you say, Team Triviality?
So we got this, basically I was basing it on the band Fleet Foxes with a fleet of foxes.
Okay. Any thoughts on this one, Greg? What did you have?
So as I was saying before, like I knew it was some obscure name, like, but I don't think it was like Gang. But I also went with Fleet Foxes.
Unfortunately, nobody will be receiving points. It's a skulk of foxes.
Skulk.
I've heard that before, I think.
So apparently they like to skulk around.
I feel like if that was mentioned in the movie Zootopia, I would have remembered it. But they never mentioned that foxes are skulking.
It's a great movie.
The band
it's
was so called good. Skulk Foxes. I don't know if they'd be as popular.
Yeah, probably not. Question three was in vexillology. And Triviality going 10 on this one and Greg surrendering. So what did you think, Greg? Who has the longest flying state flag?
I was first thinking that it was based on like the original colonies, but I kind of thought that maybe too easy. So I just picked Illinois.
All right. And what did you say, Team Triviality?
We had a similar discussion. We thought Delaware might be too simple since it was the first state. So Ken threw out Illinois, which, you know, seemed to work out well, and Matt threw out Ohio as well, but we ended up going Illinois.
So Ken had mentioned in your discussion that 1818 appears on the flag because that's basic. State of Illinois is pretty lazy. They just put the state seal on there. State seal had the year of incorporation or statehood. But it's been flying since it was a territory. Hawaii has had their flag since 1845.
Wow.
When they were basically an overseas colony.
You said Hawaii.
I did, yeah.
And we said, "Pah, no way."
many of the other flags that you mentioned came after the Civil War and are battle flags or inspired by other things. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. So Hawaii, believe it or not, has had their own flag since when they were kind of a sovereign kingdom, sort of. And all the way up until they became the last state.
I think the only Hawaii trivia thing I know is King Kamehameha, which is always the answer whenever it's a Hawaii trivia question.
We've had a few. We've had Hawaiian alphabet questions before, and we've gone through a lot of them. So Hawaii is always a bevy of trivia. So question four was in chemistry. The question was, what elemental metal melts in your hand? Wagers on this one, 10 to Greg, and Triviality just giving up on it. No points.
Yeah. Should have bet more.
I sort of immediately regretted picking chemistry because of this, because I knew it was going to be something kind of maybe obscure. I just went with mercury.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, Ken was not quick on this one. Gallium.
It is gallium.
Great. So, 0 points.
Is that GA?
It is GA. Yeah. I actually have some on my desk at home. It's pretty fun.
The smug look on Neil's face.
Totally.
I know. I was telling you, I only know like 12. And the way I memorize that one is I go down to Georgia and get some gallium. That's how I remember that one.
Really?
That's how they teach it at school.
I wasn't sure if it was mercury just because, like, I know with thermometers,
right.
like you have to be at a certain temperature for it. Right. You know what I'm thinking? Like at 98.6, right. Like, no. That's your body temperature. Right. So it would melt freeze. In your hand.
So the thing about mercury is it would be what's considered room temperature, like 70 degrees.
Yeah.
It would still be liquid. But gallium's melting point's about 83 degrees. Okay. So it's solid in room temperature, and it will melt in your hand.
Oh, that makes sense. Because at room temperature, if it got solid, maybe it would probably break the thermometer.
Yep.
I figured it might be a medical question that you were trying to help me out with.
So.
And if it was mercury and I didn't know it, I would have been embarrassed.
So, no, you're on the right track. It's one of the few metals that is liquid at a relatively safe temperature to touch. I wouldn't touch mercury directly, but mm-hmm. Gallium's safe, so have fun with it. I have some at home. All right, last question. Don't drink it.
You just have gallium at home?
I do, yeah, on my desk. Pretty cool. It's pretty great. I keep it in a glass container. Question 5 is in biology. So, triviality going 10 on this, and Greg going 20. So let's see what Greg said on the high wager.
So the only reason why I think I was able to get this is because you said genetic. I was thinking of conditions that cause like depigmentation changes. So my mind immediately went to like vitiligo, which like is just a complication of your skin where you get depigmentation. But I don't think that's genetic. So the only other thing I could think, which was brought to me from the movie Powder, is albinoism.
Mm-hmm. And would you say triviality?
Yeah, we didn't think of the movie, but it's a great movie. We said albinoism.
Yeah, being albino or having albinism, I believe it is, would be the opposite of having too much melanin in your skin and having almost none at all.
Yeah.
So both teams getting points
on
that one.
Is it albinism? Did I say it wrong?
I believe it's albinism, yeah.
Albinoism?
I said what Greg said because I didn't want to sound stupid. It failed.
No, I just sound stupid.
Adding in the final scores, Greg got one right, but it wasn't enough. He dropped 10 points off his score. Triviality adds 10. So Triviality is this week's cream of the crop, 155 to 140.
Why continue? Just let me pass.
You have forgotten that I, too, am not afraid of death.
Appropriate for basketball today.
Well, that and also Game of Death.
What a crazy final round.
Yeah, very close. This was our closest Game of Death, I think.
Yeah, by far.
And it's designed to be difficult. It's designed to be an uphill climb for our guest. So one of these days, we're going to get taken down, but today is not that day.
Greg did mention to me before coming on the show, as it wasn't mentioned, we are friends. He was very concerned that he wouldn't do very well. And I got to tell you, you did probably better than I would have. Especially going solo against these guys.
And
so
if he had been less courageous and challenged me to basketball, he probably would have won.
Yeah, probably.
But props to Greg.
But hey, if you want to be the best, you gotta beat the best.
That's right.
So that's why he went up against Matt, which is very commendable. You want to go up against, you know, who's going to give you the hardest fight.
And I don't think we've ever had anybody do that. So the fact that you did that and it was the closest game yet, that's commendable.
You brave heart, man. You brave.
I'm Braveheart. I'm Braveheart.
I'm braver than you.
Way braver. You Braveheart, man.
Anything you'd like to plug, Greg, while you're here? Before
no.
We kick you out on the street?
No, thanks, guys. It was a real pleasure to be here. I'll continue to randomly show up at your Monday night trivias that you guys commonly attend, and I'll probably not help as much as or do as well as I did today in terms of my contribution to the trivia team, but this was fun. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, good times.
Thank you. It was good.
Yeah, before you leave, just come to the bathroom. I have to show you something. Let me know if it's okay.
I have no comment.
I'm also
not on the clock yet. So
yes, again, thanks to Greg for joining us in the studio. If you would like to get in touch with us, best way to do that would be just go right to our website, trivialitypodcast.com. There we've got links to our Facebook, Twitter, and our email address. So you can send us those question 5 submissions. We do very much appreciate those when we see them. If you'd like to support the show directly in any capacity, I have David Levesey to thank for his recent contribution of $20 a month, which is really generous. We're very excited about. So I think now I think, Neil, is the time, you think, to announce we're going to be going to Geek Bowl this year. Tickets just recently went on sale, so we've gotten those, I assume.
This won't go up for a few weeks. Well, yeah. So they're December 13th, so whether this was released then or now, we will have gotten tickets.
Right. So we're going to be going to Geek Bowl, so your contributions help us out a lot here, covering our costs. So we're trying to ramp up a little bit. We'd like to be able to spend some of that money on outreach, and we're probably going to try and do some things while we're there to engage with you guys. We'd like to meet with all of you who would like to see us while we're out there, if you're able to come. If not, we're probably going to do some content out there, maybe, you know, to send back and put live on air once we get back. So we're very excited about that. We're looking forward to the opportunity to go out there and hopefully meet and engage with a lot of you who enjoy the show.
Yeah, we're looking to maybe do some episodes, some late on me's there. We'll be out for different dinners, drinks, maybe some get together. So if you're wanting to meet up with us and we haven't spoken before about it, make sure to reach out and say, hey, we'd love to hang out with you guys for a little bit, or go to a local pub trivia game there before the actual event on Saturday. We have some things that are in the works that we're really excited about, but we'll have more on that later, talking with the Geeks Who Drink folks. And yeah, any help you guys can give, you know, in the areas of Patreon is definitely going to help this trip, because we're going to get some equipment, hopefully, that will make us a little bit more mobile in Boston. So we can come to your hotel room, you can come to ours, and you don't even have to pay for it. So it's just going to be a fun time. That was a prostitution joke, but no one got it. But yeah, it should be a fun time. We're really excited, and we look forward to seeing you all there.
Thanks, Neil. So on behalf of the team of Triviality, Ken, Matt, Neil, and myself, and thanks again to our guest, Greg, that was Triviality.
I mean, we must be increasingly on the alert to prevent them from taking over other mineshaft space in order to breed more prodigiously than we do, thus knocking us out through superior numbers when we emerge. Mr. President, we must not allow a mineshaft gap.
Sir. I have a plan. Monsieur!